In the new book, Bad Law, 10 Popular Laws That Are Ruining America, published by the New Press, the New York Times bestselling author and the nation's justice correspondent, Ellie Mistal, brings his trademark legal acumen and passionate snark to a fierce, funny, and wholly original takedown of 10 shocking pieces of legislation that span all the hot-button topics in the country today, from abortion and the Hyde Amendment to immigration to gun control. By exposing the flawed foundations of the rules we live by, and through biting humor and insight, Bad Law reimagines what our legal system and society at large could look like if we could move past legislation plagued by racism, misogyny, and corruption. Order your copy wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the Nation Podcast, where we take you behind the scenes of our biggest stories with the people who wrote them. I'm Dee Dee Guttenplan, editor of The Nation. Today, we're following up on a story we first covered in 2020, sexual harassment at McDonald's. Back then, Nation contributing writer Bryce Covert documented widespread allegations of sexual harassment at McDonald's franchises around the country. Ever since, the fast food giant has promised that it's taking the issue seriously and has touted new standards that it says are meant to foster a better workplace culture. But when Bryce started looking into these claims and speaking to McDonald's workers, she found that, in many instances, these new standards were barely being upheld, and even worse, that harassment was continuing. Bryce's latest findings, reported in collaboration with Type Investigations, are in the May issue of The Nation. And I'm delighted to talk to her today. Bryce, welcome to The Nation Podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to be with you. So there are a lot of bombshell facts in your piece. I want to start first by asking you, how big is McDonald's? How many people work there? What size is it as a corporation?
So McDonald's is one of the largest employers in the country and certainly one of the largest fast food employers in the country. And it also holds itself up as, it calls itself America's first job. You know, it really wants to hold itself out as a place where teenagers go to work, they get their first job, and that's where they start building work experience. So it really holds itself out as a big employer in the U.S.
Well, it's a huge employer. And, you know, as they say, billions and billions of hamburgers sold. And I have to say that it was where I worked as a senior in high school and a freshman in college. I still have my McDonald's badge on the bulletin board behind me at The Nation at my office. But this culture of harassment was shocking in 2020. So let's start with a little recap of what led you to this in the first place.
Sure. So sexual harassment can happen in any workplace, of course, but there have been signs for a while now that it's particularly widespread at McDonald's and also somewhat egregious. You know, workers have been speaking out about this for a long time now. They've been filing complaints. They've been filing lawsuits. There was a historic nationwide strike in 2018 over this issue. It was the first ever nationwide strike held by workers over this issue of sexual harassment. And they were really trying to get the company to sit down with them and talk about the issue and fix the issue. But it seemed to just keep going. And then I saw in 2020 a survey that found that 3/4 of non-managerial female employees had experienced sexual harassment. And that is just a very high number. Again, this happens in all workplaces, but not to that degree. So it just became pretty clear over the years that McDonald's has a particularly bad problem when it comes to sexual harassment.
Well, back in 2020, you could say that the fish rots from the head, because wasn't the former CEO of McDonald's, Steve Easterbrook, fired over sexual harassment?
Yes, and this collided with some of the workers speaking out during that same period. It came to light that he had been engaging in, eventually we found out, multiple sexual relationships with subordinates at the company. He was eventually fired, and so they brought in a new CEO and were trying to sort of turn the page and say, you know, sexual harassment is not welcome here. We're going to do something about sexual harassment at McDonald's. And that sort of leads me to the reporting that I did for this upcoming story.
Right. Because then it was like, well, our bad, we're going to fix this. we've made mistakes, but we're going to be better. But I want to ask one more question about then, and then we'll get to now, which is this strike and these complaints. Are any of these workers members of a union?
That is a great question and a little tricky to answer. A lot of them have been part of the Fight for 15, which is a project of SEIU, one of the country's largest unions. And they have been fighting for $15 an hour, as well as the right to form a union. And they've had a lot of success on the former demand, and it's been much more challenging on the latter. So no, they're not unionized. And in large part, because most McDonald's locations are owned and run by franchisees. And so when McDonald's workers go to unionize, what they want to do is bargain with corporate headquarters that sets the temperature of French fries and the color of their uniforms and whether or not they smile. And instead they're told, no, you have to bargain with local Joe, who owns three stores in your town and has a lot less power to set these things. So they've run into that hurdle a lot. And so a lot of them are organized in the sense that they are part of this fight, but don't get to have the power of an actual union behind them.
Well, I think you've made a great and really important point, which is both that most McDonald's that people go to are not what they call O&Os, corporate-owned and operated stores. They're franchisees that belong to small business people. And in fact, you know, McDonald's is often held up as a entry point for entrepreneurial capitalism for minority business owners and female business owners, because it is a popular investment for people. But I can still remember being told, you know, exactly how many shakes of a salt shaker to put on a Big Mac, or how, you know, how long to let a fish fillet cook in the fryer. I mean, they have this vast manual that specifies everything. And this was back in the 1970s. So, you know, the corporation really looks at every detail and prescribes every detail. And yet on this issue of sexual harassment, it seems like they totally had dropped the ball. So what did you find when you went back?
So, you know, fast forward to now, in the wake of the CEO scandal, as well as all of this protesting and calling attention to sexual harassment inside the restaurants themselves, the company says, we're going to turn a new page. We're going to do something about this. This is a new era at McDonald's when it comes to sexual harassment and other issues of safety as well. And so they say, we are announcing these new global brand standards. And what's really interesting about the global brand standards is they say, we are going to hold to account not just corporate-owned restaurant locations, the minority that we actually control ourselves. We are also going to hold franchisees accountable. These are going to apply everywhere. But it's light on the details. They say something about policies, you know, having a written policy in place. They say something about having training and giving people a place to report harassment. And they were to go into effect in January 2022. And so I wanted to look back and say, okay, it's been a couple years since they were in effect. What's changed? What have they done? And what are these global brand standards? What do they actually mean on the ground? And essentially what I found is in talking to workers, you know, sexual harassment is still happening at McDonald's. I think that's pretty clear. You know, I don't know that we can expect them to fully root it out, but it doesn't. The people I've talked to don't say that there's been a real major change in how much this is happening and how egregious it is. And also these promises on having policies and trainings and reporting have not added up to much. A lot of workers say they didn't receive any training at all, or if they did, it was very cursory. A lot of them say when they made a report about harassment, basically nothing was done. And then a bunch of them said that they were even fired for making a report. So it didn't seem like the standards were doing much at all on the ground.
And again, you know, this is a company that is perfectly happy to prescribe to franchisees how to cook an egg for an Egg McMuffin. So what did you find when you looked at these brand standards? I mean, were you able to get a look at them? Are they public?
So they are not public, but I was able to get a look at them. And I think that's part of the story here is that McDonald's has fought to keep the details of the global brand standards secret. You know, what exactly are these locations being held to? And even going so far as to say in a class action lawsuit where a lawyer was trying to get them unsealed that they are confidential business practices. I was able to get my hands on a document that basically outlines all the criteria by which a franchisee now is held accountable under this new policy starting January 2022. What I found was, although it does have specific requirements on policies and trainings and reporting, it is very vague. So, for example, a restaurant is required to have a policy on sexual harassment. The document is silent as to what that policy is. The restaurant is required to have a training on sexual harassment. The policy is not only silent on what that entails, but also silent on whether there's any follow-up to find out, is this an effective training? Is it changing rates of harassment? Is it changing how people feel about reporting? So I think tying that to the reporting that I did, where I talked to workers about what's happening on the ground, it's not hard to see why they are saying basically nothing has changed inside my workplace.
And there are new lawsuits since 2022?
There is an ongoing class action lawsuit coming out of Florida that's in process right now. And then there's some other complaints as well. I talked to some workers in California. There's been some lawsuits out of Texas. So yeah, this is ongoing and workers are continuing to take action.
And when a McDonald's worker reports harassment, what did you find out happened in best case and in worst case?
I would say I didn't hear a lot of best cases. The best case, I think, was they made a report and they just saw nothing in the way of follow-up. So either no discipline for the person they said was harassing them, they weren't able to change shifts so they weren't working with them, they didn't know often if anything had been said or done to the person they said were harassing them. So just basically nothing comes of it. The worst case scenario is that they end up suffering some sort of consequence for coming forward. So some folks told me they had their hours were reduced, which means they're making less money. And a bunch of workers even said that they were fired in the aftermath of coming forward.
Yeah, you've talked about workers who, you know, rely on this job to feed their family. And then they get, you wrote about somebody who was cut back from 40 hours to 15. And, you know, we're not talking about high wage jobs.
Yeah, and that's that woman in particular, she's a mother of two people. And she said, I can't survive. I'm trying to feed my family on 15 hours a week at McDonald's. That doesn't work. And she feels very clear that her schedule was cut back because she was sexually harassed by a manager and came forward and said something about it.
And that's not the worst case. The worst case in the article is about a 15-year-old who was assaulted by her 28-year-old coworker.
Yeah, that's out of Hearne, Texas. Again, McDonald's holds itself out as America's first job. So a lot of the people I was talking to and writing about are teenagers. This is their first job and they're really young. And there was a terrible case of a 15-year-old who was raped by a dumpster outside of her workplace by her manager.
And then McDonald's says they have no responsibility for this.
Yeah, and this gets again back to the franchise model. McDonald's corporate in that case is basically saying, we can't be held responsible for anything that happened here. We're not responsible for hiring the person who assaulted her. We're not responsible for what happened to her. We wash our hands of this franchise. And I think it's interesting and somewhat strange because the company has said that it's holding franchise locations accountable for sexual harassment. But then when something like this happens, it's washing its hands and walking away.
Well, I wondered about whether this kind of get out of jail free clause because of franchise is something that you've seen in other franchise businesses.
It does come up. I think it's a challenge across the fast food industry for, again, workers for wanting to unionize in particular or for holding their, what they see as their corporate employers accountable for things like sexual harassment or wage theft or other things that happen. McDonald's is a big relier on the franchise model, though. I mean, over 90% of its locations are owned and run by a franchise. So it is a bit of a get out of jail free card for it. And the company has very much relied on it and it's worked. I've seen it get the corporate entity get out of a number of sexual harassment lawsuits on this basis.
You've also reported on labor violations across lots of industries, you know, for example, Amazon, meatpacking. How does the McDonald's climate compare with what you've seen in other industries?
So again, harassment can happen anywhere, and it does. I think what makes it particularly egregious in McDonald's is a couple of things. You know, one is just the fast food environment. Again, these are young kids usually. Even the managers tend to be teens or early 20s employees who get promoted up. they may not know what they're supposed to do if someone comes forward. They often don't. They often don't handle it all that well. Young kids who are, you know, hired there for their first job, when they get harassed, they may have no idea what they're supposed to do if this happens to them. So there's sort of an extra burden of needing to really make it clear to workers, this is what you do. This is what we expect of you. These are the rules. It's also just an environment where people are close together and it's fast paced and a lot of pressure, and that can be a place where harassment will crop up anyway. But then I think the next reason why McDonald's is so egregious, because this is going to be happening in all fast food restaurants and companies, but McDonald's is particularly egregious, I think, because it has done so little to respond to the problem. And it can't say that it doesn't know what would be a better response, a more substantive response. Workers themselves have been pushing the company for years to sit down and listen to them about what they want to see. And in fact, in a lawsuit that came out of Michigan that's been settled, part of their original lawsuit from workers listed out, this is what we would like to see change at the company. Here's what we think the company could do that would make a substantial difference. They wanted sexual harassment policies written in plain language so workers understand them. They wanted in-depth trainings. They wanted a better reporting process and protocols for investigating complaints done by managers who know what they're doing. They wanted consequences for people who are found to have engaged in harassment, and also consequences for managers who fail to do anything about it. They wanted a system to track complaints and figure out what the resolution was, and metrics so that if a franchise is found to have not prevented harassment, there's some sort of penalty. Again, you know, McDonald's, like you were saying, they have rules down to the temperature of the fries, you know, whether or not people are wearing the right hats. Workers have been saying for a long time, use that same power to tell franchisees, this is what you need to do. And if you don't do it, we're going to take away your franchise agreement. And so far, the company has not listened to them.
Right. I think one of the things that really struck me about your story is that although it is certainly a great tale of corporate malfeasance, you also really give us the human side of what these people have experienced. And I wondered how, as a reporter, you go about that. You know, how do you get people to talk to you about something that's probably a pretty painful topic?
It can be tough. It's definitely hard, I think, for workers to keep reliving these pretty traumatic experiences. I think it helps that I have a track record of writing about this issue. And, you know, I could point to my previous reporting at The Nation where I talked to other workers. They could see my approach. They could see how I talk about this issue, how I treat the people I talk to in the story itself. I also often talk to them with their lawyer on the line, which I think helped them feel a little more confident. And in the interviews themselves, you know, I start out and I say, you know, I know this is difficult to talk about. If you need to take a break, just let me know. If I ask you a question that you don't want to answer, just let me know. I let them sort of set the terms a little bit because I want them to feel comfortable and I do not want to re-traumatize them. But I will also say these workers are pretty eager to share their stories. You know, everybody used their full name, which I think is pretty remarkable. They want this issue addressed. They don't want what happened to them to happen to anyone else. So they were pretty motivated. You know, I did all those things to try to build trust, but I think it really came from them, this sense of wanting to speak out and seek justice based on the story they had and the experience they had.
And what about when you went to the company for comment? What kind of response did you get?
Not much of a response. I started by just asking, can you send me the details of global brand standards? You know, I've been writing about this for a long time and I hear that they are the solution and you guys have said that it was going to change this issue. Can I see them? They did not send them to me, but they did sort of talk to me. And it sounded like at first maybe they might let me talk to someone and then sort of disappeared. And so I sent them a list of really detailed questions and allegations. And I got a short statement in response that basically said, you know, we don't want sexual harassment to be happening inside McDonald's. And we take this issue seriously, which I appreciate. But, you know, I think the reporting stands on its own to show that whatever it is that they're doing, it's not enough.
Right. And yet they're not doing more. So is that because they feel they can just weather this? It doesn't really hurt them. There's no effect on their bottom line.
I think they must. I mean, some of the challenge here is that it has become sort of legal practice for a lot of large employers to do the bare minimum to be able to show in court, in case you get sued for sexual harassment, hey, look, we did a training. Why should you hold us responsible? We have a policy. You can't hold us responsible for this. We tried. And courts have sided with and said, okay, well, it doesn't really matter what's in that training. You did something that gets you off the hook a little bit. So I think it's not so surprising that they would turn to trainings that basically have no impact and very little substance. But they must also be making the calculation that it's just not something that they need to invest in because it's not going to hurt them with the public or it's not going to hurt them with their sales. I can only imagine that must be the calculation they've made.
And, you know, I have no idea how you're going to answer this, but I am curious. How do you feel McDonald's compares to other fast food outlets on this issue?
I think fast food has a sexual harassment problem. I don't think it's just McDonald's, but I think McDonald's has a very pervasive one. I think this is something that you hear over and over again among employees that I don't hear to the same degree from other fast food workers. It's also the largest and has the most resources to deploy against this problem. It has a lot of power over its franchisees and its corporate-owned locations. It could do better. And, you know, some of the advocates I've talked to say it's so frustrating because it could be a leader. McDonald's could say, we are going to get out there and lead on this issue and make these substantive changes and everybody else come follow us and we're going to make a change in this industry. And it just, for whatever reason, does not seem interested in doing that.
And, you know, you will have your own views on how effective an individual consumer can be. But people who read your article are going to come away angry. What should we do?
It's a really great question. I mean, usually my answer to that is follow the workers. If they are demanding a boycott, follow their boycott. If they are going on strike, don't cross the picket line. I think a lot of this fight has moved to the courts, which makes it a little bit more hidden from the public. But you always have the power of your wallet. You always have the ability to make different choices. So if you feel really moved that you can't be a McDonald's consumer, that may be, you know, the choice you make coming out of reading the story.
Are there big corporations that have really stepped up on this issue where they have an effective anti-harassment policy that you can think of?
So the example that always gets pointed out to me of an effective response to sexual harassment came from workers. It came from the coalition of Immokalee workers in Florida. They're farm workers. And they have run this campaign where they went to the corporations that buy the produce they grow. So they didn't go to the people in charge of the farms where they were growing and picking these crops. They went to McDonald's and Burger King and Walmart and all the places that are buying their tomatoes and their lettuce and said, we want you to tell our growers, this is our list of demands. This is what you need to do to change. And we're not going to buy from you anymore if you don't do it. And it worked. And from what I have been told, sexual harassment has dramatically changed in the farms where they work. There are processes now to report it safely without risking your job. There are consequences for the people who are found to be harassing you. And it all came from this threat of corporate buyers over these suppliers saying, we are going to pull out. It's called the Fair Food Program. We are part of it. And if you don't live up to it, we're going to go get our tomatoes elsewhere. It's really been effective. And it's really a great look at the power of workers organizing on this issue. I think, again, though, what frustrates people trying to get McDonald's to change things for its own workers is that it's part of this program. It knows what is effective. It is, in some places, signing up to try to make change, and then in its own restaurants is not doing the same thing.
That's so interesting. And also, I think, important that it's not like this is a mystery, what you need to do to make it work. There are examples where it does work. So it's a question of commitment, presumably.
And I try to make that point in the story. You know, I asked experts, if McDonald's was going to do something substantive about this problem, what should it do? And I lay that out in the story because I don't want readers to come away and say, oh, well, sexual harassment happens. What are you going to do? McDonald's tried something and it failed. I think it really is clear that, yes, it might take some more resources and some more commitment, but there are things McDonald's could do, and they are not mysterious and they're not rocket science. It just takes a little bit more work. So I really hope that readers come away feeling like this is a problem with a solution.
All right. Bryce Covert, thanks so much for coming on today and also for following this story. I think it's a great example of the way that real commitment to journalism isn't just a passing thing. You stayed on the story for years and as a result have come up with a fantastic story, which I'm sure our readers will find fascinating. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.